keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father. I will pray the Father,
and He shall.
Good morning. Welcome to St. James Westminster Anglican Church on this frosty January morning. The main announcement this morning has to do with our annual vestry meeting, which will take place 1 week hence. We are still under COVID-19 restrictions, so the day will unfold this way. There will be an 8:30 in-person service. There will be a 10:30 in-person service, so you can come to church. Then we'll give you time to go home, have coffee, lunch, whatever you want to do. At 1 o'clock, we will be on Zoom for the vestry meeting. There is an Eventbrite sign-up sheet that has been sent out to you. When you sign up, please sign up with all the names of all the people in your house who will be participating in the meeting. And that is simply because we need to record numbers for votes and all those kinds of things. Not that we're expecting any exciting votes, but it's important that we have an exact number of people who participated, and if there is a vote on something, that we know how many people are eligible and all those kinds of things. So if you would do that, we would appreciate that. You should also have received via email the vestry report. If you want a hard copy, there are a few of them on the table just outside. The plan is that the Zoom link for vestry will be sent to you on Friday. So if by 4 o'clock Friday afternoon you don't have the link yet, you might want to check with Rebecca in the office to make sure that it has been sent to you. Thank you to all those who pointed out microphone issues last week. They are fixed to the best of our knowledge. Don from Horizon Solutions was here for an hour or so this week. John Gardy joined us as well. And I spent my whole time going, check, 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 check. Then I decided to tell them my life story, and amazingly, they were fixed almost like 30 seconds later. So hopefully we have that all taken care of. If you notice anything at any time, please let us know, because when you're standing up here, we can't tell what's coming out of the speakers in any way, shape, or form. That's all the announcements. Apparently there's a couple of football games on today. I'm not sure what those are about, but I might watch one. Let's take a moment, take a breath, and prepare to worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Living God, in Christ you make all things new. Transform the poverty of our nature by the riches of your grace, and in the renewal of our lives make known your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated for the reading of Scripture.
Or a clinging symbol. And if I have prophetic flowers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abides. These three, and the greatest of these is love. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
My tongue will proclaim your righteousness. My tongue will proclaim your righteousness. In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In your righteousness, deliver me and set me free. Incline your ear to me and save me. My tongue will proclaim your righteousness.
Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe.
Since I was young, I have been sustained by you ever since I was born. From my mother's womb, you have been my strength. My praise shall always be of you. My
works of the Lord God. I will recall your righteousness, yours alone. O God, you have taught me since I was young, and to this day I will tell of your wonderful works.
My tongue will proclaim your righteousness.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus began to speak in the synagogue at Nazareth. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is not that Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did in Capernaum.' And he said, 'Truly I say to you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except the widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of a hill on which their town was built, so they may hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise
to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. It's a beautiful sentiment, isn't it? And something I think we all agree is the quintessential wedding reading, right? That's where most of us are used to hearing it. I know that's what I often associate this passage with. And I mean, why not? It appears to be really about praising the value of human love. And what expression can be more poignant than a wedding as a celebration of romantic love? I mean, that's what all parents want for their children. It's what all of us want from our spouses. Love that is patient and kind. Love that is sacrificial and enduring. What else is a better expression of that? And I think what's often missed in this, or perhaps it's just ignored, is that this text was actually penned by Paul to a community that was really having a very difficult time with one another. I mean, this is a community in conflict. This is not a community that is happy and loving with each other right now. So this passage isn't really meant to speak to the beauty and wonder of love. It's really meant to speak to the difficult realities of relationship and kinship, the sometimes challenging dynamics between people, and the love that is lived in very costly ways among God's people. And it's interesting, this placement of this text as well, because it happens in between chapter 12, which is a discussion of the various gifts of the Spirit that are given to the church. And then that gets revisited in chapter 14, which comes right after this. So this section almost seems like it might just be an interruption of sorts. But I actually think it's key to this whole letter. Well, we got to remember this is a letter of Paul written to a group of people. And in fact, there's a missing introduction of this text that we listened to just now that's found in the last little bit of chapter 12, which states that Paul is going to give the Corinthians a still more excellent way. Or in the Greek phrasing, if you want to parse it out, it's something that goes beyond measuring. And hearing that is so important to the church. Paul feels this is so important to the church that he's writing to, and I think for us here and now, because measuring themselves, their abilities, their gifts, their status against one another, That has become an obsession for the Corinthians, and it's really one that we ourselves are not quite free from. So Paul is offering them a way to move past this, a way that is beyond measuring, a love that is the shape of life having been set free from its earthly shackles of judgment and insecurity and selfishness. So this chapter then is really to set us on a path, not for just familial love or romantic love, but really and truly an empathy and a compassion that marks us as one. This sets the foundation on which Paul wants the church to stand. That without love, it doesn't matter what budgets and buildings and missional strategies we have, they're not really worth anything. Those things do not give the church the shape that God desires. We can pursue any form of spirituality or proper doctrine or right tradition or even activism in the name of justice, but above all and firstly, we are called to be a community that practices love. And this is so significant because this is where I think the chapter really goes off the rails in so many interpretations, because besides our misunderstanding of the scope of this love being beyond just our family and our friends, we often have really unrealistic assumptions about what love really is. We want it to be easy, and we want it to feel wonderful and amazing and to be shiny and new all the time. We want our family or our spouse or our friends or the community that we love to be likable and compliant, to always be comfortable and soothing, to adapt to us and our needs all the time. But Paul calls us out on this because true love is not measured in how good it makes us feel, but in its capacity for surviving tension and disagreement and sorrow. And really, my friends, that is truly frightening, because what Paul is talking about isn't philos love or eros love. And just a quick Greek translation for all of you. I mean, philos love is the brotherly, sisterly, otherly love of family, and eros love is romantic love. What Paul is really truly talking about here is that agape love, that transcendent divine love of God, the sacrificial love of the one who will empty himself of all power and might for us. Humble himself to be one of us. And that seems like a terrible burden. To be that selfless in love, to endure that much in love, to be patient and kind and not irritable. Honestly, if you ask me to do that, I don't really want it. Or maybe we'll tell ourselves that we don't really need to be that giving or that sacrificial, because there is such a thing as self-love, and that is the most important thing, because if you cannot love yourself, how will you love anyone else? A love this huge that it can bear all things just doesn't seem all that possible for us. But whether we're thinking of a romantic relationship or a family group or a community of people, it's always the same. It's nothing but just flawed human beings trying to do their best. We're good, but we're maybe a little bit broken. Paul writes here that there are three central values for the church: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of all is love, which is strange seeing as we're a church, it should be faith. But here's the thing. Faith is the journey we're on. It's going to falter. It'll have fits and starts. It grows and it changes. And eventually it becomes sight. Hope is going to rest quietly until we need it most. And then it's going to give some strength that ends in fulfillment. But love is there from the start, and it remains. It abides. Love calls us its image because we are made in love. We are raised to new life in love. We are made whole in love, and we are nothing but love. It's not a journey in the same way. It's not a talent or a skill. It is an innate part of who we are. That transformational, inspirational, selfless, limitless, abundant love, it is us. It is us, because we have first been wholly, completely loved by God. And so, what Paul says is true. We are patient and kind. We are not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude, and we can bear all things, believe all things, hope all things. And we can endure all things. Amen.
As you are able, please stand. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I invite you to take whatever position is comfortable for you in prayer, sitting, standing, or kneeling.
As we gather in Christ's name, let us bring to mind those who particularly need our prayer support. We remember those who teach the faith throughout the church and throughout the world. Keep them close to your guiding and open the hearts of those they teach to hear and receive your truth. We remember especially Dan Lemansky, Peter Giampa, Sylvia Brightwell, Chris Briglia, Stella Woodhouse, Anna Woodson, Diane Fuster, and Tommy Emery. Lord, show us your ways and help us to walk in them. We remember those in positions of authority and influence in this country and in all societies that needs may be noticed and addressed, good values upheld, and all people respected. Show us your ways and help us to walk in them. We remember those who looked after us when we were young, and those who have no one to love and to care for them. We remember all young families and all the children in our parish, that they may be introduced to the one true God and live their lives in his company. Show us your ways and help us to walk in them. We remember the elderly faithful, and especially those who are housebound and can no longer join us to worship in person. We thank you for their example and ask you to increase our love for one another across the age groups. Show us your ways and help us to walk in them. We remember those who have finished their lives on earth, especially Mary and Welkmai, and commit them to your everlasting care and protection. We ask you to keep us faithful to the end of our life. Show us your ways and help us to walk in them. We remember with thankfulness our elderly friends and relatives and celebrate the way their lives enrich our community. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. My friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. Let us pray. God of steadfast love, may our offering this day, by the power of your Holy Spirit, renew us for your service. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, sustainer of the universe. You are worthy of glory and praise. Glory to you forever and ever. At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. By your will, they were created and have their being. Glory to you forever and ever. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the stewards of creation. Glory to you forever and ever. But we turn against you and betray your trust, and we turn against one another. Again and again, you call us to return. Through the prophets and sages, you reveal your righteous law. In the fullness of time, you sent your Son, born of a woman, to be our Savior. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. By his death, he opened to us the way of freedom and peace. Glory to you forever and ever. Therefore, we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with those in every generation who have looked to you in hope to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, Lord our God, for sending us Jesus the Christ, who on the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, gave it to his friends and said, "Take this and eat it. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup of wine. He gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Glory to you forever and ever. Gracious God, we recall the death of your Son, Jesus Christ. We proclaim his resurrection and ascension, and we look with expectation for his coming as Lord of all the nations. We who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit now bring you these gifts. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon this offering of your church, that we who eat and drink at this holy table may share the divine life of Christ our Lord. Glory to you forever and ever. Pour out your Spirit upon the whole earth and make it your new creation. Gather your church together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom, where peace and justice are revealed, that we, with all your people of every language, race, and nation, may share the banquet you have promised, through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ. All honor and glory are yours, Creator of all. Glory to you forever and ever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. A reminder of our communion protocol today. Hannah and Jerry will be distributing communion to you in one kind, the bread. They will approach you to deliver communion. You may stand, sit, or kneel to receive whatever is most comfortable for you. Please wait until they have moved away from you before you lower your mask and receive the bread. If you prefer a blessing, just cross your arms like this. And there is also a gluten-free option if that is what you require. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ given for you, preserve your body and soul into everlasting life.
But not begin.
us pray. Source of all goodness, in this Eucharist we are nourished by the bread of heaven and invigorated with new wine. May these gifts renew our lives, that we may show your glory to all the world. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be amongst us this day and remain with us forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord and each other. Thanks be to God.